Ahoy there, me hearties. Avast, landlubbers and ETC. I don't know why this has now become a nautical-themed podcast, but welcome to Literal Literature, where you'll be joining me, Captain Sam Sheldon, and my co-captain, the one, the only, Mr...
Harwood Greater. Aye, aye, Skip. There's...
Yar!
There'll be pirates on the starboard bow. Avast ye, scurvy cur.
I don't know why I've done this, Howard. I'm so sorry. This is a book that's based in, like, you know, the middle of Texas and got absolutely nothing to do. This is perfect for Treasure Island. It would have been perfect for Moby Dick, which we've already done. But for some reason, I've just gone with
this.
This
was the day
this.
You decided to go all nautical, and that's okay because I like knots, both the unit of speed. And also the thing you do with rope, and I love water. Although I prefer drinking it, I very much don't like to be on the sea or actually in the air in a plane. I very much like to be on the ground where it's safe.
That was so confusing. I don't very much don't like to be in the sea or on the air.
Did I say on the air? Yeah. Don't like to be on the air. I really hate doing this podcast, and I think we should end it. Bye. good intro, mate. Strong.
Thank you. It's very strong. That's what I was going for. But of course, we are here for the further reading of your version of A Country for No Country.
Sorry? What is it called, mate? No clip clops for old chims. No bim bammy boom baps.
Flip flop. No country for old men.
That's what
there
it's
we
called.
Go.
Yes.
That's where it
the-
was.
The exciting, dramatic heist involving old men who want their country music LPs back. and that's what I did, and that's the whole thing there. And I did a lovely impression of Michael Caine, and you did David of Attenborough. Yes. Have you seen David Attenborough's new thing on Netflix?
I have not. Is this, which one's this? Is this the one that's going back over all of his life story?
Yeah.
All that jazz.
He's seen, in the show, he describes it as his witness statement for what we've done to the natural world. It's terrifying.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a nice, easygoing romp.
No, but important.
Yeah,
I sort of think David Attenborough is a bit like a prophet now. Like, I think he's going the way of sort of... Mother Teresa.
Of Jesus.
I'm being serious. You know how, like, Bob Marley was essentially a Rastafarian prophet? Like, people give him extreme reverie.
Yes,
which makes complete sense. Like, you know, I suppose, in a prophet sense, he really did spread the word of his religion and brought it to a much larger populace. And
this is very true.
Make people think about it. And I think Attenborough is... sort of like the natural world's prophet.
Yeah, not, for sure. You know, I mean, he's been bloody harping on about it for long enough.
Oh, God, will he ever shut up about the bloody universe world? Oh, the pandas, the whales. All right, David, come on. Why don't you just whack some coal on your fire, have a lovely big steak, and just forget about it for a second.
Take a load off, for God's sake.
Exactly, yeah. Why don't you just burn loads of plastic in your garden for a bit?
That's what I do to really... If I want to chill out, Howard, that's what I do. I just pile up a load of plastic.
Just get loads of old tyres.
And just breathe that in and go, that's the good stuff. This is how to relax. I was going to ask you, actually, because you mentioned the heist caper... Are you a fan of the heist caper in terms of films and all that jazz? Are you a fan?
I am, actually. I love a heist. There's been many of them, and any fans of Rick and Morty will know that in one of their episodes, they've made it very difficult to enjoy a heist now because they've sort of drilled down the mechanics of it and how they're all the same, but. I don't care. They're great, aren't they? You know, The Italian Job, fantastic film.
Yeah.
heist movies. What are the heist movies?
I think for me, the number one, and I don't know if, to be honest, I know people think as a film it's amazing, but I don't know as a heist movie if people rate it. Heat. I think Heat is still like one of my top tippity tap top films.
It's very good. It's quite long, isn't it?
It's long, but it's so good. Like, you just don't want it to end. Well, I don't anyway.
There's also a magic heist movie called Now You See Me, isn't there?
Oh, of course. I haven't seen either of those, I haven't seen them.
But I do have a gripe with it. And I think someone else has said this, probably a comedian. But but when I heard them say it, I was like, I've been saying it. I agree. So I'm sorry, I can't cite who said it as well. But there's a sequel to Now You See Me, right? Mm-hmm. The sequel is called Now You See Me Too.
Oh, yeah,
Begs the question, why, in the sweet fuckery of all that is holy, why wasn't it called Now You Don't? Yes. What is going on there? Who's doing that? Do they think that the cinema goer is so thick that they're going to go, Now You Don't, I've never heard that before. What's that sequel to? I'm not going to get my ticket now. I'm going to throw my popcorn at an old lady.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it could even, the whole film, the whole sequel could have just been called Now You See Me, Now You Don't. I mean, that's still fine.
Now You Don't would have been like the subtitle.
The subtitle, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Like, see, that would have worked either way. So, I completely agree with that. That is infuriating that they didn't even, there wasn't even a subtitle to it. It was just Now You See Me 2.
There must have been a meeting. I mean, how, no one's that short-sighted, are they? We're going to do this sequel of a movie called Now You See Me. What should we call it? And nobody said, how about Now You Don't?
At least if that didn't happen, then at least there must have been a lot of discussions on set of like the cast and the crew to keep constantly talking to each other, going, why the fuck is this called Now You See Me Too? Like, come on, like, what the fuck?
We've got this new movie, it's called Roses Are Red, and we're going to do a sequel and we're going to call it Roses Are Red again.
Oh God! Well, so you are a fan of the heist.
I love a heist. Hence why you wanted to. Yeah, and I've followed the sort of tropes of the heist to a maddening degree. You know, there's nothing new about what I did for my little play. But I really, it was fun to write, man. Like, it was, like, I don't usually have a lot of fun. Because you just, you know, you've got time constraints and you're like, oh, Jesus. I'm not funny. This isn't funny. I'm an idiot. I just want to jump off a bridge. And then, but this time,
it's been an enjoyable process, it was a lot of fun.
And I just, because I could imagine you doing your little parts in your booth, in your little granny home. And I really enjoyed thinking of that. What can I say? I really, I hope people liked it. Please get in touch if you enjoyed it. My one concern is that it makes sense in my head alone. Do you know what I mean? And so, like, people go, what are you talking about?
I think I've said it a couple of times. I think the vast majority of everything we do on this podcast is going to involve people going, what are you talking about? I mean, I think you creating a reasonably conventional heist caper is going to be easier to follow than some of the absolute mad fuckery that I've pumped out of recent times. But people know. I don't think you have to worry about it.
People come expecting that. Do you know what I mean? So, like, yours go to some strange areas, but
people are
equipped for that to happen. They go
right.
It's Sam's week. We're on board. Do you know what I mean?
We don't know what we are on board on, but
We're on board a marshmallow spaceship that's got glitter coming out of its ass. I don't know. But
it just makes me sound like a really shite John Lennon when he was trying to write like Strawberry Fields and things like that.
He would have been 80 this week.
It was, I thought that was completely accidental, but I thought it was around.
Well done, John.
R.I.P. John.
R.I.P. John Lennon. That was more of a Gallagher thing, wasn't it? Really? but then, not alike at all.
No.
Much to Noel and Liam's chagrin. Fuck you guys. I'm joking. Imagine if they listened to this, they wouldn't, would they? What do they listen to? Conspiracy theory things about the virus.
Oh, I forgot, because he's a no masker now, isn't he? No.
I don't want to wear me fucking mask.
Hell. Don't want to get too down into that wormhole, but that is disappointing, though. Not that I've ever been, you know, a gigantic Noel Gallagher fan specifically, but it's just disappointing because I enjoy quite a lot of the stuff he does, and just to see... It's just the same as anybody. All these people who have come out anti-mask recently, it's just the same as anybody doing it.
Yeah. It seems to be arrogant old rock stars.
Yeah, who else was there? There was somebody else quite big.
Van Morrison.
God.
There was Ian Brown. I mean, Morrissey's got other problems, you know, but I can't imagine he loves... I bet he's got something to say about coronavirus.
Absolutely.
It's none of it's real. It's a conspiracy theory to stop us going to shops for some reason.
Put a mask on. Anyway.
Girlfriend with corona, I know. That was perfection. Sorry.
Well done.
Two mistakes I noticed in my script that I only noticed after recording it.
Okay. Nothing jumped out to me.
Perhaps we could put in a sort of like jingle here, you know. I don't know. That might not happen, but it'd be something like, mistakes that Howard made.
Wait, can you just do that one more time?
Yep.
Mistakes that Howard made.
I shall try and put something in there for you.
right at the start, Michael Caine talks about the hipsters being complete Barclay Hunts. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is rhyming slang for the bad word. Yeah.
Fun jingles.
Flumps.
Yeah.
But it should have been Berkeley Hunts, because that is where we get the word Burke from. Burke. Berkeley Hunt. You can edit that out, sorry, but I just said
we'll put a beep in there.
Yeah.
A beep for a bit of fun.
Yeah. So that should have been Berkeley Hunt. So I'm sorry about that editorial thing there. The second problem we found was Brian Blessed when he comes to deliver the ale to the hipsters. He says something along the lines of, I've got a delectable lot of green ale that this sceptred isle has to offer. But it should have been, I've got loads of ale that this green sceptred isle has to offer. So it shouldn't have been green ale, is what I'm saying.
That is so disappointing. These two mistakes, I don't know if we can ever rectify that. People are going to be hopping mad now, because they probably didn't even realise, but now they're going to hear this and go, what? How did this get past the editing?
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll be in trouble with CAFRA as well.
Who's CAFRA? What's that?
the Campaign for Real Ale. Like a genuine movement.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Is that a genuine... What is Real Ale? What is this? Educate
I think they've won. You know, it's Real ale is like bitter and like stuff out of the, you know, the pump rather than straight from the, you know, warm beer basically. but with a lot more flavour. And you know, your IPAs, your stouts, your other ones.
God, so people will actively mobilise for that. But when it comes to what we were talking about previously, like climate change and things like that, people will have a go at people for trying to mobilise. But no, it's okay that CAFRA is a thing. That's cool.
Well, I think you're underestimating how much the people need hops. We need hops, don't we?
I mean, sure.
I get up. I wake up in the morning and I go, oh, what a glorious day. Where are the hops? and if it wasn't for CAFRA, I wouldn't know. CAFRA. Is it CAFRA?
I don't know.
Oh,
you
fucking
hell.
I'm going to have to look it up, Sam.
And here we're going to add some music while Howard looks up if whatever this silly bunch of people. No, I shouldn't call them silly.
They're fine. They're fine. They're
you're
harmless.
You're a fine bunch of people.
And I like IPA and real ale and all that stuff. No.
It'll be CAFRA, right? Campaign for real ale?
Yeah, Caffra. Yeah, is that what I, that's what I said originally?
That's
right?
What you said, yeah.
Caffra.
Caffra.
Is it Caffra? What does Caffra stand for? Civil Asset Forfeiture Reform Act. Okay, we might have got things wrong here. What do we call the campaign for real ale? Camera. It's camera.
Camera. It is camera.
As in campaign, and then the four they leave out, and then real ale at the end. Cam.
That's not how it works. Someone needs to tell them how that's not how, you can't do it that way.
Camera's also already a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good on them. Fine. They're fine people.
So I didn't mean Caffra, I meant camera. Sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. Well, that's the third mistake that I've flagged up. Howard makes a mistake.
Well, I think that rolls right along perfectly into what I think. And I mean, I say it every time, but I know that everybody loves this segment, Howard.
Yeah.
I know that everybody wakes up on every second Wednesday when it's a further reading episode and goes, oh, today's the day. Today is the day when I get to listen to Literal Literature's Reviewdle Doodle Doos. Oh, God, what critter is that meant to be this time?
It was another dolphin. Another. That's right, Literal Titlets. It's time for Reviewdle Doodle Doos. Sam, what do you got?
Oh, God. All right, let's have a look. What have I got? So just to remind you all, just in case if you've forgotten, because we haven't really talked about the book all, it's No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. No Country for Old Men.
Cormac McCarthy, obviously very well known for its, probably more well known now, I think, for its film adaptation, just because the film did so well.
It's really good.
Anyway, let's have a quick look. So these were taken from either Amazon, these reviews at Amazon, or Goodreads, or wherever we could find book reviews, basically, from the general public. And this first review comes from someone called First Lady, is the username.
Oh, Michelle. Or...
So, Michelle, she says, book arrived on time and in excellent condition. Unfortunately, this is not my kind of book, so I will not write a biased review. What? I don't understand where the bias comes from.
Well, like, yeah.
I mean, does she mean biased towards it because the condition was good?
Maybe that's it. Yeah, I think you've drilled it down. But it does seem odd that she's going... I'm going to write a review here, but I'm not going to put any opinions in it. But I guess she's writing that the book was nice. The quality of the book.
So the quality... So it's a one-star review.
It made some excellent kindling.
Yeah. But I'm picturing it, like, holding it, touching it, going, oh, it feels good. And oh, smells like a new book. Yeah. Oh, that's 5 stars worth of that. Mm. And then starts reading it and goes, don't like the insides of it. No!
I've got to write something. I can't be biased about the book just because I didn't like it.
I think the content's shit, but I want to write 5 stars but just because of the touch and the smell, but I can't. I've got to put my bias aside.
I love the glossy finish on the cover.
I just think that's such a weird thing, because if you're going to review a book, it's always going to be about the content, never about the physical touch. Because if it's a paperback copy, 99% of the time it's going to be similar to most paperback books, unless it's like a special edition hardback, leather-bound thingamaflam. But anyway, sorry, I'm banging on about it too much, but I'm just very confused that she would allow her enjoyment of the condition of the book... to possibly bias, give her a bias review.
Yeah.
It's very odd. Anyway.
excellent, mate. Yes,
what have you got, Howard?
Well, let me tell you, if you'll just...
What have you got? Hurry up.
This one from Delta. Okay. Ooh. Now, Delta writes... this was an endeavour and a half to get through. The pace is incredibly slow, interspersed with high-octane, unbelievable action scenes. It's like McCarthy wrote this as an action movie pitched to Michael Bay. The worst part for me was the constant morals shoved down our throat at every turn. And I swear, if I had read the e-book / physical book instead of listening to the audio, I would have dropped this book after one chapter. So what I liked there was the morals. They didn't like the morals. Delta didn't like the morals that were being poured down our throats.
They live on the wild side.
Can't you just tell me a lovely romp about, you know, cowboys and guns? I don't need morals.
Because I guess, I mean, what are they looking for? Escapism from morals? Are they sick of this moral life that they lead?
Yeah,
so sick of being an all right human being. I want to read about dirty, horrible, terrible people.
Well, I suppose maybe that's why we play games like GTA, isn't it? To go like,
I guess
these are all the things that you definitely shouldn't do, but I'm going to pretend to.
Whenever I play GTA, I drive within my lane.
Yeah,
I don't touch any pedestrians.
I've often wondered about that. I think they should reward you for obeying the rules.
Now this is gonna come across sounding horribly nerdy, but I think there's people on Twitch who deliberately do, like, not necessarily Grand Theft Auto, but like could be any game like Red Dead Redemption or whatever, who try and do like clean runs of the entire game where they
just
try
being stand up gent.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Amazing.
It's really odd.
How's that possible? You're gonna have to kill someone.
I think in reality, I don't think they're actually playing the missions. I think they're just doing like all the day to day side stuff that you could do. Lovely. Well,
lovely.
I have another one here. I've got one more here. This is a bit of a journey. This one,
yeah.
Not super long, but a bit of a journey because there's an update to it. So there's the original review and then an update from later on. So here we go. This is from Maura.
Go on, Maura.
This book is killing me. I can't read more than a few pages at a time, and I have so many good books waiting for me. It'll be the second time I've given up on it, though, Sorry, the punctuation's shocking. It'll be the second time I've given up on it, though, if I put it down. My main problem is the lack of punctuation. Which is ironic because of her punctuation just made me stumble. Quotation marks are undervalued. And then there's an update. Update. I finally gave up. This book turned me off reading for many weeks. I couldn't bring myself to pick up another book.
Oh my
finally
gosh.
Back in the reading mode again. Holy crap. I don't think I've ever had a book that's turned me off of reading as a whole.
You know, that's quite a thing. To dislike something so much that you just go, well, I'm never returning to this genre ever again.
It's like, I'm trying to think if there would ever be a film that would ever put me off watching movies
again. Film. Just like, this puts me off the medium of film. I reckon there are pornos that you could watch and go, well, that's the end of that then. That's horrible.
Oh my God. That's
most of them, I suppose, really, if we, you know. If we were in our right minds when we decided to watch a porno, we'd be absolutely disgusted by 80% of them, wouldn't we?
Oh my God, that's so funny. Wise words there, Howard.
Thanks.
I was going to say wise words.
Cheers, mate. Do you want another revoodle doodle doodle?
Would I ever?
Right. This one comes from... I don't know. I think Gunpowder is their name.
Oh, okay.
But I would rename them the Grammar Police if it was up to me, because they write 18 I's in the first paragraph, 6 sentences in a row starting with I. If old McCarthy can't bother to use a grammar checker, I can't be bothered with his books. Strike 3 and Cormac's out of my TBR pile. They are not happy with the
absolutely
amount of
not. The TBR pile, to be struck off the TBR pile. Good God. That is a shame upon shame for any author, I believe, to be struck off. What I'm assuming is the to be read pile.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what else TBR could stand for.
Oh, that's a question, isn't it? TBR.
Big read. I don't know.
Televised boxing raccoon. Yeah? Happy with that?
Yep, I love that. Televised boxing raccoon pile. I'm going to start one of those immediately.
If
gunpowder doesn't like lots of eyes, then I don't think they're going to be fans of spiders.
Oh, is that worth it?
They're probably arachnophobic as well as not liking No Country for Old Men.
That was very well thought out. Well
Thanks,
done.
Mate. Thank you. And it was really spontaneous and off the cuff.
He's like, you just read that review like 3 days ago. Can't wait to get this one out.
Oh, the spider joke's going to kill. We got any more or are we done?
I've got one last one here for you, just because I think this person, I don't know, this is only just because they have a further book recommendation off the back of this review, which I think really isn't going to send people down the right path if they don't know what they're in for. So don't do what Jennifer suggests here, which is, she says, I didn't like this book. What was the point of it? It was violent and sad. Read The Road instead. It's much better. The Road
is quite violent and very sad.
For those of you who don't know, it's a dystopian future where a father and... Is it father and son or father and daughter? I can't remember.
I don't know. Anyway, did Viggo Mortensen in the movie?
Yes. Yeah. Sort of like got Last of Us vibes, if anybody's played The Last of Us on PlayStation.
It's the best.
So good.
Did we talk about that for 8 hours? Because I could.
Yeah. This is one thing we need to say is that, like, Howard and I, we've said it a bunch of times before that we're not exactly big readers, and the only reason why we do this podcast is so we can make silly, fun radio plays. There's been many a time when doing this where I've gone, oh, this would be great for a podcast. I could talk about this topic for fuck.
It would be good. If you spoke about every chapter of The Last of Us in like for an hour, that'd be wicked.
Yeah.
And well, then you could talk to the man who played Joel and the woman who played Ellie.
Ellie, that's the one, yeah. Yeah, we should. Well, hey, listeners, if you are a fan of The Last of Us, message us and say if you want a spin-off podcast, because we'll be happy to do it for you.
What would it be called? Clickerbait.
Clickerbait? Oh.
Come on.
That's very nice. Very nice. So don't if you're feeling sad and you don't
The more
don't
I
like
think
violence,
about clickerbait, the more it makes it works on other levels. It's very good. It's the pun on clickbait. It could mean the people in the world they're clickerbait. That's it.
I mean, because it could be also, this is, I don't know if we can include this in our own thing, but like a podcast like that, Clickerbait, you could be talking about anything pop culture as well. You could do all the Last of Us shit, but keep on going afterwards because it's like clickbait and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't matter.
Well, watch this space, people.
Here we go. we're just discussing future projects.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Okay, wait,
No, that's fine. If you're feeling sad and don't like violence, don't read The Road, for God's sake. That'll be a big old mistake.
Yeah. And I think that probably draws a close to this week's
Reviewdle Doodle Doos.
Sam.
Eh?
Would you like to hear a country song parody for...
Ooh.
For a podcast about books.
Howard, would I ever?
Good, because I've got one of those.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to play you now My Heart's the Mariana Trench by Billy Chicken, which I created for this episode and last episode of No Country for Old Men.
Mm.
No, the last episode of Literal Literature in which we parodied No Country for Old Men. I wrote this little song. It ends quite abruptly because I never envisioned it getting to the end. I just always thought it would fade in and out, which it did.
With the power of editing, I could make it fade out for you if you'd like, so it doesn't end so abruptly.
Oh, I don't really care. So
that's a true artist there, ladies and gentlemen. I don't give a shit.
So here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. My Heart is the Mariana Trench. Billy Chicken.
Well, the shotgun sleeps here in my bed, so y'all best sleep outside. And if you then hear the dog bark, you can let him in, all right. Well, I hear the stars are mighty fine, I'm sure you'll be okay. Well, come on, I love my dog and gun and the doggone USA. My heart is like the Mariana Trench. The water's deep, so keep them teeth clenched. I like to pet and groom my horse, I keep her satisfied. And if you do try to ride her, well, I'll skin your ass alive. Well, I wish my mom could see this, I fostered quite a ranch. She's left a chasm in my heart, and it's the Mariana Trench. My heart is like the Mariana Trench. The water's deep, so keep them teethies clenched. The Mariana Trench. The Mariana Trench. The Mariana Trench. The Mariana Trench.
There it is. Mariana
That's
Trench.
That's great. Yay. That's really, really cool. And that was all original, right? That's like not based on anything. It's
no,
all like...
No, it was all, you know, yeah.
Amazing.
An original song there.
No, that's great, mate. Thank you very much. That was, Mariana Trench. Is that going to be released as a single, do we think?
It's coming out now, yeah. There's a lot of hype about it because, obviously, this being the hip, new, incredible podcast that everyone's talking about, it's just a matter of time, really. I think we're going to try it for a Christmas release.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, the rumbling started.
Sam.
Yes, Howard. I was going to ask you, hey, my words are not coming out today.
It's a lovely song. Better than mine.
Everybody's... there we go. That was my version of... Save the World Today by the Eurythmics because I couldn't get my words out.
Right.
Howard, you wouldn't happen to have made a big old quiz for me, would you?
Well, Sam, you all, if you look up to the clock, you will see that it is quiz o'clock right now and things are heating up. At the moment, you are on 11 and a half points. It's good, but not as good as 15 and a half points, which old HG is sitting comfortably on right now. But there are some whopping points available here in today's quiz. And are you ready to take it?
I am so damn ready for this.
Well, prepare that's good news, HG. Because I'm ready to give it to you. So, here is the quiz. I can't remember what I've titled it, but it's stupid. That's it. No quizdry for old Sam. Sam.
Hello, Howard.
Which of these statements does Brian Blessed claim to be true?
Oh, God, just to preface, is this your version or the real version?
The actual Brian Blessed.
The actual Brian. Okay, right.
Does he claim that he delivered a baby in Richmond Park? Mm-hmm. Does he claim that he saw a Yeti? Does he claim that he punched a polar bear square in the face? Does he claim that he survived a plane crash? Or does he claim that he will one day travel to Mars?
Oh, I'm going to say... I'm going to say he traveled to Mars because he was in Flash Gordon. It's completely going to be wrong.
Well, it's a bit of a trick question, Sam.
Oh, are they all right?
He claims that all those things are true, yeah. Brian Blessed claims that every single thing that I just said happened.
Amazing.
I went to go and see Richard Herring do his podcast at the Leicester Square Theatre when Brian Blessed was on. It was the most insane hour of my life. He was he's brilliant, and like I think he's cultivated his own sort of mad mystique. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much of it is fun bravado and how much of it he says is true and how much is true. I mean, he is a remarkable man, isn't he? Like he's scaled Everest and he's the oldest man to go to the North Pole and stuff. Like he's a massive like G. Apparently all those things are true. That's the last of the trick questions, Sam. Sorry about that.
Perfect. So what does that mean for me then? If I said that I think that one was right.
Yeah, let's give you half then, shall we?
Should go for half. Cool. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Good. Question two. Mm-hmm. What did country music star George Jones reportedly do in the late 60s after his wife hid his car keys? He was drinking very heavily. Did he, A, attach his two husky dogs to half an old mattress and ride to the liquor store and back? Did he, B, ride a pink children's tricycle complete with a Raggedy Ann child's helmet to the liquor store and back? Did he ride a 4 mile an hour, 10 horsepower rotary lawnmower to the liquor store and back? Or D, did he make his wife give him a piggyback to the liquor store and back? The round trip was around 16 miles.
I'm going to go with, I feel like he's in the country. He's probably got a big old patch of land. I'm going to say the lawnmower.
Correct, my friend. Very, very good. It's gone down in history. He said, you know, it's true. He was very, very drunk. he liked to drink. So you are currently on 1.5 points. Question number three, Sam. Which of these is a genuine Michael Caine movie?
Ooh.
Okay.
Yep.
A, The Hand. A brilliant cartoonist loses his hand in a freak accident. The hand becomes sentient and commits a string of murders. When Caine is put into a psychiatric ward, the disembodied hand comes to his aid and throttles his doctor. B, Rockin' Horse. Misty, the Shire horse, becomes a music sensation when it's found he can clop rhythmically to punk music. Caine, his owner, takes the horse on tour with the band Snotfist, but ultimately realises he is exploiting his best friend.
The amount of effort you put into these is amazing.
C, The Fish That Reads Minds. World-renowned marine biologist John Hawker, Caine, stumbles across a never-before coral reef off the coast of Hiroshima. Soon, he discovers that the fish in this region are reading his mind and work together to attack the underwater base him and his team have set up in an attempt to cultivate the unnatural powers of this brand new ecosystem. Or D, Death Dance. Historical drama depicting the dancing plague or dance epidemic of 1518, a case of dancing mania that occurred in Strasbourg, now modern day France, in the Holy Roman Empire. In Strasbourg. The Holy Roman Empire in July 1518. Somewhere between 50 and 400 people took to dancing for days. Many danced themselves to death. So just to recap, you've got
the hand,
Rocking Horse, The Fish That Read Minds, and Death Dance.
I'm going to say, and it's probably going to be wrong, but I'm trying to... Death Dance sounds like the name of a film. Like, it does sound like an actual film. The storyline sounds like it could be a semi-decent B-movie, but I want it to be this one. I'm going to go The Hand. I'm going to say The Hand. It's probably wrong, but I'm going to say The Hand.
Sam, that's the right answer.
Oh, my God!
Yeah,
that sounds like a great movie, though. Shit. I don't know. I've not heard of that.
Well, he's made a lot of dross movies. Yeah. It was on a list of terrible Michael Caine movies, so... question four, Sam. Mm-hmm. In David Attenborough's first documentary series, Zoo Quest, what now endangered species eggs did he and his crew take from a nest, cook, and eat?
Oh, my God.
I'm not giving you any clues here.
Endangered species in a zoo that lays eggs.
Not a zoo.
Sorry, it's called Zoo Quest.
The series
isn't
was
it?
Called Zoo Quest.
Oh.
But it was, it's mad. It's on the iPlayer. It's like, David Attenborough goes with a crew to like far off places, catches animals and brings them back to London Zoo.
Oh my God. So
it's an incredible thing to watch as like a piece of historical sort of, you know, sort of an Attenborough fossil, really.
That's difficult because I don't know what continent he's in. I don't know what.
He's on a beach. I'll give you that.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think that's a bit of a give. Maybe a giveaway. Is it a? Yeah. Is it some sort of turtle?
Yeah, sea turtle. Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Ate sea turtle eggs.
Yeah.
And here he is now banging on.
I think he was saying like the salt. The taste is quite salty, but it was just fine for the protein we needed or something.
It's like David.
It's incredible. So yeah, that's 3.5 points.
Oh my God.
You're on a roll, boy.
Oh my God. It's not going to last long. Don't worry.
Question number 5. How much did the fake blood in No Country for Old Men cost?
Oh.
Did it cost $400 a gallon, $600 a gallon, $800 a gallon, or $1,000 a gallon?
That's crazy. I'm going to say $600 a gallon.
Hit the post there, my friend. It was $800
That's
a gallon.
That's mad.
As the movie was shot mostly in the desert, the usual sugar-based fake blood wouldn't do because the extras on set would have been eaten alive by desert bugs. So the extra special blood was specially ordered from the UK.
Bloody hell. Much.
So it wasn't originally factored into the budget, and then they had to sort of splurge a lot on that.
Oh, my God, fake blood. Amazing.
Yeah. All right, so never fear, there are more questions. Question number 6, Old Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Is Prince Philip younger than... A, penicillin.
Oh,
B,
my God.
Sliced bread.
Oh.
Oh, did I say C? A, penicillin. B, sliced bread. C, the Empire State Building. Or D, the League of Nations.
Older than, you say?
Younger than.
Younger than.
Yeah.
It's not. If I remember correctly, the League of Nations is the precursor to the United Nations, which was made just after World War II, I think. So I don't think it's that. If that's what I'm remembering correctly. Penicillin, sliced bread. I'm going to say he's older than sliced...
Younger than.
No, younger, sorry. Shit. Younger than sliced bread.
No, he's older than sliced bread. So Prince Philip was born on the 10th of June, 1921. The League of Nations was founded in 1920. So actually he is younger than the League of the League of Nations.
Shit. Which one am I thinking of? Well, I'm trying to think. What was the one that was made after?
Well, it's like you said, maybe that was the UN, but before it would have been the League of Nations.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
That could be it. Or I've just completely shat on history and there's people fuming as they're listening to this.
Yeah.
You fucking moron. So, it's me going, well, it can't be that one because that was actually made after World War II, so it can't be that one.
So just for anyone who wanted to know, sliced bread was commercially available from 1928 and penicillin was invented in 1928 as well. The Empire State Building was finished in 1931, and the league was 1920.
There you go.
So there we go. So Prince Philip is older than a lot of shit because he is a ghost. Which is the genuine Sam? Which is the genuine country music song?
Ooh, okay.
Is it "You Gave Me Your Heart"? I hope you kept the receipt. Is it "If My Pig Had a Wig, I Would Leave You"? Is it
sorry?
Is it "I Sold Your Soul to the Devil and He Wants a Refund"? Or is it "You're the Reason Our Kids Are So Ugly"?
Is it the receipt one?
Where's that? The one at the start.
Yeah.
"You Gave Me Your Heart, I Hope You Kept the Receipt".
Yeah.
No.
It's
actually "You're the Reason Our Kids Are So Ugly".
Wow.
It's,
by
that chap that they always put in Family Guy. What's his name?
You know, Conway Twitty.
Yeah, I think it's his.
Yeah. "You're the reason why our kids are so ugly".
Perfect. I've seen Conway Twitty
Conway Twitty, and he is wrong. question I don't care who he made the kids with, they're not the reason that they're ugly. Question number eight. Now, this is a bit of a... You might be able to get this one, I think.
What name has been given to the heist carried out in London April 2015, where a group of six elderly men successfully stole up to £200 million worth of stuff from a safe deposit company? It is also the name of the area in which the heist took place.
Is this just no answers to it?
No, because it was big news.
Yeah, but I don't.
A movie about it. There's two movies about it.
Is it? Oh God, I don't know. Is it something? No.
Let me tell you then. If you're not going to answer, are you going to answer?
Savile Row. There's not.
No, it was the Hatton Garden job.
Oh,
you know that?
No, I didn't hear. 2015.
Yeah, it was massive, mate. It was the biggest. I think it was the biggest heist in certainly UK history.
There you go. Bigger than the Great Train Robbery, or whatever that was. Shit.
Yeah.
And is that the film that Michael Caine's in? There's a Michael Caine movie.
Is in it, yeah. And also the English version has got, is that the other one, Dave Lamb is in it. Is it Dave Lamb? Larry Lamb.
I was going to say, isn't Dave Lamb the guy who does the voice for
Come Dine With Me? All right, fellas, we've got a job to do.
Oh, I love Dave Lamb. Bless you, Dave.
Yeah. Looks like Jim's forgotten the drill.
Oh, that's too good. Oh. Come ice with
question,
me.
Question number nine. This is where I began to run out of steam. Question nine. What short film did I appear in with Sir Ian McKellen?
What, you?
Not. Yeah. We did not have a scene together. Was it called EGAD Zombies, EGAD Vampires, EGAD Werewolves, or EGAD Changelings?
Hang on.
Don't look at IMDb.
I'm not. I'm looking out the window.
I'm good. What?
Thinking, pondering. Is it... Wait. EGAD. EGAD Zombies, EGAD Werewolves, EGAD Changelings, EGAD... What was the other one?
Changelings.
No, sorry, I said change. Was it just the three of them?
No, zombies, vampires, werewolves, changelings.
Is it EGAD Vampires?
No.
Fuck!
It was EGAD Zombies.
Damn it!
How long ago was that? Before all the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. It was way before that, but there was... Yeah, we did like a zombie film set in... the 18th century. It was a while ago, you know, set in the olden days.
And how long ago did you do that?
I was right out of drama school, so, you know, 1906. yeah, a long time ago.
He's an old boy, is Howard. He's one of the old boys, hence why he was with Ian, of course. You with one of the other fellow old boys.
Yes, we grew up together.
Yes.
Question number 10, sir. Oh, which pineapple shirt is the cheapest? Is it the one you can get from The Gap, from Peacocks, Top Man, or Quiz?
I don't even know what Quiz is. Quiz?
Quiz is actually the most expensive, as I was looking online.
I love that you looked these up.
Yeah, Top Man was selling for, I think, €12, which I think equates to about €10.99.
Right.
That's the cheapest one.
See, I was going to do that. I thought you were going to be tricking me here. I thought, because Top Man people usually can be a bit expensive. So I was like...
I agree with you. The Gap was, for boys, it was £12.99, and Peacocks was £14. So, yeah, pineapple shirts, very much best to get that from... Top Man. Top Man. They don't sell clothes that fit me. that's your quiz, boyo.
Oh.
Shall we tot you up? Let's tot you up. You didn't do... You lost some steam at the end.
I definitely did. But I think... We're either even or you're half a point ahead of me. I can't remember.
You got half a point for that one. One.
two, three.
I think that might be it. Three and a half.
Three. I think you've only got three and a half, actually.
Yeah. But I had 11 and a half.
Did, I thought you absolutely, like, killed it, but no, you didn't.
I think we're either even.
Well, no. Oh, yeah. Sam, 11.5. So if we put on your 3.5, you've got 12, 13, 14, 15. So you're half a point behind me.
Half a point, damn it.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all right, though.
There
That's
we go.
Okay.
So that was this week's quiz. No quizdry for old Sam.
Beautiful. Well, I think that that about does it for this week.
Yep.
That's a big old that's a big old episode.
we've rabbited on for a million years, haven't we?
Yeah. But Howard, would you like to, as always, give the people the socials where they can find us, where they can contact us?
I sure would. Yeah, yeah. Please get in touch with us. Review us if you like. Do all that stuff, please. That'd be really, really nice of you. And thank you ever so much for listening and staying with us and being loyal literal titlits. You can find us on Twitter at literal lit pod. That's at capital L literal capital L it capital P odd. You can find us on Instagram at literal literature pod. You can email us literalliterature.podcast@gmail.com, and you'll find me and Sam knocking on Matt Groening's door and then running away really fast, going, "I loved The Simpsons, but it's not very good anymore."
And he'll probably stand at his doorway going, "Yeah, no, you're right."
Yeah, fair enough. It's money for old rope at this point, he would say.
No money for old rope. Don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. So that's been it for this week. So once again, just to reiterate what Howard said, again, thank you so much for carrying on with us on this crazy journey of 18 weeks it's been so far. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And
we love you guys.
Keeps building. It's great. No, and thank you so much. And yes, do reach out to us via all the channels that Howard has just relayed to you all there. And I guess, Howard, all that's left to say is...
a book by everyone.